Yo, what's going on, man? You guys are now tuned back into the Free Sauce Podcast, man. We got another banger of an episode for you guys today, man. You already know, but before we get into the episode, make sure you hit that subscribe button below, man. We on the run to 200. We need that done ASAP. Everything's free, like I said, man. Just support. Hit that like button, comment, boost the engagement on the video, all of that. Make sure you keep tuning in with the Instagram page. We like the engagement over there. I think we just hit like 400, so we appreciate everybody that's over there. Everybody who subscribed, hope y'all tuning in over there with our clips and everything. Make sure you get you some merch. Great quality, very cheap merch. We'll pull up if you're on campus, www.freesauceshop.com. Go get you some of that. Make sure you bear with my boy Austin today. You're a little bit under the weather.
Yeah, it's going to be a long, but hopefully y'all, bear with me, like you're saying.
He's not sick. He's just under the weather.
Yeah, but, I'm going to put up my best effort at all times. So, just stick with me right now.
For sure, man. But without further ado, we're going to go ahead and get to the episode. You go ahead and introduce yourself.
Yeah, so thank y'all for having me again. My name is Keontae T.P. Sykes. I'm 20 years old from the west side of Chicago. Do a lot of community work. I'm the CEO of my own nonprofit called Sykes Hoops, where we teach life skills through the game of basketball. Through that, we done had a lot of support from different businesses. The biggest was we did a partnership with Papa John's, where we donated over 200 pieces to the homeless. I've donated over 10,000 of my own money to different sponsorships and stuff. Donated to autism, cancer research, and all that. All that stems from basketball, though. In high school, was nominated to be an All-American. Broke my school three-point record. Led the Chicago White West in three-pointers. Teammate of the year for 2 years. Most improved player for 1 year. So, yeah, that's a little bit about me. Thank y'all for having me again.
For sure, man. That's a hell of an intro. I don't know where you want to start at, but...
I want to say, thank you for, taking the time out of your day to come on here because, it's kind of hard sometimes finding, guests and you reaching out to us through the Instagram. Yeah. Props to you. I like to start out a podcast, just giving the guests a little bit of props because sometimes, you don't get your own flowers. So
being able to pass that to you,
Yeah, appreciate y'all.
No problem. So I want to, just kick off a little bit of the basketball side of things. How did basketball, help you with all the things that you are doing right now? Because you said everything stems from basketball. So, can you touch on, the basketball career that you had?
Yeah, so I have one hell of a story when it comes to basketball. Mm-hmm. Fun fact, I didn't start taking basketball seriously till, I want to say sophomore year in high school. Because freshman year, I went to try out for the team, but I sucked. I couldn't even get the ball over the rim. But I was so in love with the game, he made me the water boy. So just sitting on the bench and just watching, I just really wanted to be out there. And I knew that, my life, I wanted to be on the court. And so that offseason I got with, shout out Coach Jay, Coach Jamarion, he got me right, made JV. And from there we just kept building and seeing years where I exploded. It got cut short due to an injury. I tore my groin, but I decided to fight through and play through it. I admit, a lot of people don't admit, but I admit that's what cost my team the season that year.
It was your injury?
Yeah, because I decided to still play. And I was the captain. So it was like, I don't want to go out there and leave my team, in battle alone. And I'm a kid that got heart, and I'm not going to let them go out there alone. And in the moment I was like, yeah, I'm gonna help my team, but now that I look back, and I apologize to them, but now that I look back, it's like, yeah, I feel like if I would have just sat down and healed,
let's man up,
they damn near would have been able to.
Yeah, because we had talented players for sure.
Yeah, piece shit together.
We didn't have a lot of chemistry, but we had talented players that I feel like could have gelled together if I would have sat down. So, but yeah, senior year and the Boys and Girls Club. Now that's where I played basketball my whole life. Mm-hmm. I wasn't on the team, but since I was young, 5'4", just going to the gym, doing the little gym class and stuff, trying to shoot and stuff. That's where I found basketball. Mm-hmm. I grew up through the Boys and Girls Club. The senior year, they made me their youth of the year. Mm-hmm. So basically, your youth of the year is, you're doing community work, you're doing great in school, and you're, a special, quote-unquote, kid coming out the club. And so I was nominated for that. And went to Navy Pier, had a competition in front of like 10,000 people, where we had, it was a kid from each club that had to go say a speech. And yeah, I ended up winning that, which is, they provided the scholarship that I used to go here now. And people kept reaching out from there, you know, to do business and work and stuff. And I have heart because I know what I've been through. I've experienced homelessness, all that. So once God started giving me blessings, I start, you know, issuing it right back out because, you know, I don't really need it. So for sure. I feel like there's more people that need it. So, yeah, I say everything stems from basketball.
Yeah, and I want to touch on that. You said in high school, basically you was you basically cost your team the championship by trying to fight through an injury instead of just sitting out and being able to like let them try to gel and being on the sidelines. You damn near could be talking through plays and shit like that, talking to players when they come out for subs and shit like that. Being an off court coach basically, player coach. I mean,
and I feel like that's where my IQ is better shown at, just coaching or leading and.
Being able to sit back and analyze the game.
Yeah, I feel like I was too cocky. I had a great couple weeks in the season when my threes was falling, and I was doing great. And then of course the injury came around, and at first me and my coach decided to keep it low key. But as games start to come and my games start to drown, more people start to notice.
And a groin injury, that's a nagging injury too. That's something that you really
it nags you when you sleep.
It's hard to kind of hide it because it's like it affects a lot of your movements, especially on the basketball court.
I was never athletic, but my athleticism went down even more. My speed, like I basically turned from a two guard to a big man, because like I couldn't run, so coach switched the playbook where I was helping out down low kinda, but it was like so I'm still a small kid, so it was like a lot of big men that we was playing still was getting easy buckets, but I tell them all the time that I feel like I'm the reason we didn't have a great season, and I apologize, and they accepted it, and we all still great brothers to this day, so shout out to them.
Mm-hmm. It takes a lot of balls to just be like, oh, this like the season didn't turn out the way it wants to be.
Yeah, that's a swallow your pride moment.
Yeah, bro, because of me, because sometimes we all man right here. Sometimes you don't want to take fault. You don't want to be the one that be like, okay, this ain't go right because of me. Because sometimes it's hard to admit sometimes as a man. We all got pride. We all sometimes you don't want to be the person that to show be like, oh, I might be the weak link in here.
Yeah.
But so sometimes like the moments that you had, like you're able to be like, okay, guys, like look, this is my fault, and take ownership, take charge of it, because they even love you more and respect you more because you're able to admit that.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes that's what we lack as men, because we all got it. We all got pride. We all want to be the big dog. But sometimes you gotta sit back and realize like
let somebody else have it. And senior year was tough for me. Like senior year was like I went through so much senior year. I think I went through the most I've ever been through senior year.
Mm-hmm. Can you elaborate more on that?
Yeah. So of course I had a lot of deaths, like close deaths in the family. People that I knew for a long time. So that my mental was just already all over the place.
Right.
And so, of course the youth of the year stuff, I'm traveling around, doing other podcasts and like trying to support everybody. Mm. And it was a lot. Like I was out of it senior year. Like it was a time where I didn't go to school for a week because I was just like I need a break. Like I couldn't do it,
So what got you from that to getting over the hump of that and being able to, okay, now I want to get back. I want to
just trust in God, being from the West Side and everything. Like I said, my life is, I tell the young kids every time, I get invited to talk to them that I've been through what y'all going through. Mm-hmm. And if I can make it to the point where I am in my life, mm-hmm. y'all can too. Like I said, I experienced homelessness, bullying, all that, it stays in your life as a trauma, but I just learned how to use it as a spark. So every time I'm on the court, I use it as a spark, mm-hmm. And when I got nominated to be an All-American, I thought that was good until, like, a lot of people was down talking, like, how did you become an All-American? We don't feel like you deserve this.
Hayden.
And, you know, as I look back, I can understand why they say it, because I'm not your opening player. I'm not the player that, you know, coaches will look like and be like, I want him. He can jump out the gym. I'm not the player that got all the fancy handles. I got a basic game. I get the job done.
I think that's how a lot of niggas look at people in the NBA. Mm-hmm. How niggas look at role players. Mm-hmm. Oh shit, he just one-on-one shit, I could be him. He just getting the job done. This nigga, he played 5 minutes game, right, or he grabbed 2 rebounds, or Tony Snell type, yeah, of nigga. He got a stat line of 0, you feel, yeah, me, and shit like that. But it's like, those the people that a lot of times be the reason that motherfuckers win championships. Mm-hmm. They be locker room guys. You never know. Culture guys, you never know. But I just feel like, you reflecting on that, it's like, it shows how, like, basketball is really a team sport.
Yeah.
So you're going to need your star. You're going to need your 2 guy. You're going to need your 3 guy.
Yeah, it takes the whole team. And that's what, my team had to figure it out.
Right.
We're all in it together. There's not one special player. You know, we all got to go out there. We was already a small team. I think we was the smallest team in the conference. So every team that we played already felt like they had a big advantage.
Yeah.
But we had talent. I saw talent, you know. So, I mean, these is guys that I would go to showcases with, and we would get scouted and everything. So I knew these kids, you know, all the guys had potential. It's just, we just had to go out there and play with heart and not be cocky. Mm. And once we figured that out, we had a couple wins, but it wasn't enough to get us all the way to the championship. But I'm still proud of them to this day.
Because sometimes, like, you know, like, you might do certain things on the court that you might think, you know, it's extraordinary until you play other teams and then realize, yeah, like, okay, like, we are amazing, but we need a little thing to get us over that hump.
You know? Shit, humble you.
Yeah. Yeah, like,
and a lot of teams humbled us, because, you know, it was some teams we was looking at the, you know, the papers, and we were watching tape, and, or at least I was watching tape. I had a couple moments where I was watching tape, and I'm looking at the guy I was supposed to guard the next night, and I'm like, oh, it's gonna be light easy work. I get, yeah, out there, it's a different story. So, you know, that's why I always tell people, especially when I host my basketball camps, don't be cocky, because there's always somebody that's better than you that you never know. And I feel like that's where I got my attention at. You know, I came out there as a dark horse. I'm a kid that you'll look at and be like, oh, but, you know, if you don't put a hand up, I can give you 5 threes a game.
I was going to ask you now, do you feel like if there is times, because you say don't be cocky, do you feel like on a basketball court there is times where you need to be cocky or where you need to show that dog, you know?
I feel like when your opponent talking stuff, and I had a lot of that. Mm. You know, even today, you know, I went and got picked up, played a little cup, pickup games at the rec, and there was this guy who was guarding me, and you know, I missed a three, and he was like, he can't shoot, and he left me open twice, and I hit one, missed one, and then he came down, he shot, and he missed, and I was like, he can't shoot, and he was like, you can't guard me, like, he just snapped, like, went mad, you can't guard me, all in my face, and that's the type of stuff that turned, like, That gets me there, because I like that.
Right.
I feel like that's my spark. I just came in the gym. I didn't really have time to warm up, so that's my spark.
Yeah, you looking for something to tee you up.
And we went back and forth. He got the win. And I, as a man, I want to congratulate him. But, yeah, sometimes you need to, you know, let people know that, yeah, I'm still him. I'm still him. Yeah.
I wish I was that mature to go shake a nigga hand when he just handed me an L. I'm not doing it.
I mean, it was a close game. We was going, like, back and forth.
I'm not doing none of that shit. Yeah.
I just feel like sometimes, like, it's like life. Like, I was telling my homies before I even did this shit, like, earlier today, I was like, you know, like, you gotta know when to take it when. You know, like, sometimes, you know, you can't just have it all.
Yeah.
Like, I know you. We always want it all. Like, you want the plate, dessert, and some snacks after that. You know, you did?
Of course.
So sometimes, like, it might just be the dinner. It might not be the dessert and the snack after. You're just going to, you know, take the win, you know, walk. Because sometimes, you know, as a man, like, we fail to, you know, realize, okay, when I've lost and when I've won. Because, you know, you want to go back and forth. But on the basketball court, that shit cool and all. But sometimes it's like, this shit doesn't affect my day-to-day life. Mm-hmm. Like, You know, that's what I'm saying.
I feel like shit, the score's enough for the nigga.
Take that.
I don't need to tell you you won. Take the score, nigga. You know you won.
Yeah,
that's mature as hell for you to do that, you know?
Yeah, and like, I feel like sometimes, you know, like, what I've picked up right now from this whole conversation is the fact that, like, for you say you're 20, right?
Yeah.
For 20. Being 20, you way above what I would have been at 20 years old.
Yeah.
And I want to, you know, give you the props for that, because at 20, I wasn't thinking like that.
Yeah, appreciate. I mean, it comes from just, you know, like I said, when everything start, you know, all the blessings start coming in my life,
right,
like the Youth of the Year and stuff, and I had to go be on the news. Like, I was on Fox a couple times.
So you grew up quicker.
Yeah, okay. I had to grow up quicker because, you know, I'm driving around and I'm going to all these professional places. I'm meeting millionaires and stuff. So it's like I can't be a kid mm-hmm. no more. Mm-hmm. So as I would go to school, you know, the way I talk would change and the way I present myself would change. Like, I love wearing suits. Mm-hmm. Like, dress down days at school, everybody come in and drip, and I'm coming in a suit. That's just how it was, you know. So
I had seen you at the little fashion show they had.
Yeah,
you was in a white button down
with a bow tie.
The only guy
in there with something like that on. And you know, at first, when I was younger, I used to think like, "Oh, this is embarrassing." But this is just who I am, mm-hmm. and you know, I had to grow. You know, I grew up without a dad. Mm. Never really lived with my biological mom. My great grandma took me in and raised me all my life. So shout out to her.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, just learning after her and the old ways of life and things, I feel like that helped me out a lot. And yeah, so as I grew and all the blessings started coming, and Doug, who's been like a father figure to me, and you know, management and everything, just teaching me more about the game and, you know, money and stuff, and my mind just expanded. And he introduced me to books. And as I started reading, learning more about Malcolm X and all that, mind just expanded, and, you know, here we are. So
yeah, they say if you want to hire something from somebody,
put it in the books.
Put it in the book, man.
Yep. Because I feel like a lot of people don't pick it up and open it up. Because it's like one of the things where, like, it's like, if you really want to find it, you're going to find it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just... No, what can we do to get niggas more involved with books or more involved reading?
Okay, so look, I feel like where the problem stems from is the fact that a lot of people were forced to read at a young age, mm-hmm. and like through schools, through all that. So like, in their head, it's like, damn, if I'm opening up a book, I'm being forced, you know? Yeah. I feel like we gotta go back to where, like, it's normal. Like,
I just think it's cause shit not cool.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. That's how it was. That's how it's programmed.
Trend.
Yeah,
it's not a trend.
Yeah,
trends took over the world. So whatever the trend is, I feel like that's what everybody gonna do. But
bro,
I don't care. Like, I got books all in my dorm room.
I'm gonna say, and it sound like you were just speaking on the suits and the shit like that. It sound like from the jump you was able to realize, like, okay, I want something. I want to go down a different path.
Yeah, I
want to
be different. And that's what I tell everybody. I tell my brothers that and everything. Like, I just want to be different, whether it's on the court, whether it's in a business conversation or anything. I just want to be different. I don't like being like everybody else. I feel like if you like everybody else, where is your light going to shine?
Mm-hmm.
And so, I feel like that's important in any area of life, especially in like entrepreneurship and shit like that, where you're trying to stand out and set yourself apart from the crowd. Is like, what are you doing that's different from the next? Because shit, same thing with us. We got a podcast. There's a million podcasts in the world. But what the fuck is different about our specific show that makes people want to keep watching this every week?
For sure.
You know?
And then on top of that too, is like, one thing I always remember is like, be you, cause everybody else is taken.
Yeah.
Like, I can't be you, you can't be me. You don't know how it is. I don't know how it is to be in your life. You don't know how it is to be in my life. But if we can sit down and always have a conversation, I'll always sit down and have a conversation with you. Cause at the end of the day, you have a whole different experience than I do.
Yeah, that's a bar. Everybody taken.
Everybody else is taken.
I had to learn that. Growing up, I had to learn that, especially getting bullied, you know, because mm-hmm. when I was younger, you know, I always had height, but I was always skinny, like skinny as a stick. And I didn't have the best of looks, so I was getting bullied like crazy. Like, people will laugh at me when I tell them, but like how bullying is in the movies, I actually experienced that stuff. So, you know, growing up, you know, I was like, yeah, maybe if I hop on what they doing, maybe they'll stop bullying me.
Right.
And it only made it worse. And so that's when, as I got older and I started like doing what I like to do, like wearing suits, you know, reading books, having good grades, you know, not smoking, not none of that. That's where, you know, I just kept growing and growing and growing, and now look at me. So
it's okay. Like, if you're watching this, I want you to know it's okay to be out of the norm. Like, sometimes being normal is not it. And I'm just saying, like, I said, like, sometimes, you know, you have to figure out, like you saying, like, who you are outside of, like, all the extra things that's happening around you, because you can only control what's around you.
Yeah.
If people don't like what you're doing, you might as well fuck them. Sometimes you gotta just say fuck them.
Just be yourself. I don't see why niggas would want to be someone else. For the simplest things, I hate for a motherfucker to have the same type of clothes as me or shit like that. You know,
you just copy me.
I just hate for somebody to, for me to be like, I want to stand out. I want to be me. You know, I want to have everything, you know, of my own. Now I get that I might take shit that I see from somebody else and add a little twist on it.
Inspiration.
But still, that's still me at the end of the day. This is still my creation, my shit on it.
And I noticed that when I first started going here, you know, the little parties and stuff. And, you know, when I first came here, I didn't have many designer clothes. Mm-hmm. I had pieces of suits.
Right.
So my goal, like, I had jeans and stuff, but I mostly had button-up shirts or polos, stuff you would wear to church or something.
Casuals and shit like that.
Yeah, so, you know, I still, you know, put that stuff on and went to the parties and stuff, but I'm looking, there's like five guys right here with the same hoodie. And then three girls with the same pair of skirts or something. So it's like, in my mind, it's like, that's cool. I'm not downing anybody, but y'all don't want to, you know, be yourself. I feel like every party should be a fashion show. Like, come in and
talk that shit on.
So, like, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I feel like once people grow out of that mindset, I feel like the world would be a better place.
Yeah. I was, earlier today, I was talking to this man that had a couple of males in his bank account. I met him before, you know, earlier Ricky said, you know, forget about all Austin is doing, because, you know, he feeling a little sick. I was at a little party. I met this man that had a couple M's in his bank account. He was telling me, he was like, bro, you in college right now, like, everybody want to fit in. Everybody want to be at the same place. But you got to start realizing at some point, you know, when are you going to start separating yourself from everybody else?
Yeah.
And what I'm learning from you right now is the fact that You started separating yourself from a lot of people at a really young age. And that's why I want a lot of college students to understand that, like, it's cool that if you came in with 15 other people, 10 other people, 5 other people, and you all want to be sticking next to each other, but at some point, you all going to start going apart.
Yeah, you got to create that separation. That's something that I think it was last year, we used to touch on it a lot, running and shit. Like, we used to just touch on shit, create separation and shit like that. What's something that you going to do every day that the field is not doing?
Mm-hmm.
That's what's going to create the separation. That's what's going to widen the gap and shit like that. What are you doing that everybody else is not doing? What you watching, what you reading, what you listening to, what you eating and shit like that, what you consuming that everybody else is not getting, you know, or that only the 1% is getting, you know?
Don't be afraid to be different.
That's what he said.
I preach that a lot.
He said the same words. He said, don't be afraid to be different because... Yeah. If you're too, because I was with one of my homies, he was like, if you're too busy trying to be like one of your homies, at some point, one of you are going to leave each other.
And I think today it's so easy to be different. I think that.
But it's also, it's really easy to be the same.
That's what I'm saying. I think that for the people that's trying to go down a different path, mm-hmm. I think it's very easy to set yourself apart and be able to eat. To infinity and shit like that. You know, I feel like it's easy to set yourself apart because it's easy and it's not easy, but it's easy because there's so many people doing the same thing and it's like they set the bar so low.
Yeah, another thing I appreciate is I tell a lot of people this, is there's no way like you should be like broke or down in today's world. Like, there's so many opportunities. More opportunities. Like, everybody is starting to teach it online and stuff. So, like, if you just, you know, and some people go through stuff. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not downing them. But if you just sitting on your bottom and you just not doing nothing and you just waking up every day, you know, doing nothing about your life, like, I want to help, but you got to do something for it yourself. Like, get up, get a job or something. Like, there's so much stuff out there. Just be different. Be yourself. Don't be afraid to be different. And I get it. You know, a lot of people look at that stuff and be like, hey, I want to be cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he got on a Mary. I feel like that's what all the girls like, so let me go get a Mary. And that's cool to have a Mary in your closet sometimes, but sometimes you're not going to unlock the next version of yourself until you figure out who you are. And that's what I had to learn, that, you know, I'm not none of that. And you know, that's okay. You know, yeah, I smoke time to time. I'm not afraid to say it. I drink time to time. I do stuff I'm not supposed to do time to time. But at the end of the day, I know what makes me great. Right. And instead of just sitting on my tail, I get up and do what I have to do to become great. And sometimes that takes out the word cool, quote unquote, but I feel like I'm cool in what I do. Mm-hmm. You know, reading my Bible, you know, on Zoom classes, on Khan Academy, learning stuff I'm not supposed to be learning. So I feel like that's cool to me once you figure out what yourself, because at the end of the day, the people that do that and grow themselves every day, them gonna be the ones in a couple years in mansions, riding in cars, mm-hmm. living that cool Correct. Lifestyle that everybody wanna live on social mm-hmm. media. That's and true. If you don't, you still gonna be behind the screen liking. So that's what keeps me going every day.
You know, he ain't said one lie.
Like he said, the niggas that's in the mansions and the Rolls Royces and shit like that, them the niggas that's running shit, them the niggas that decided to just stay out the way for 2, 3, 4 years, however long it took them, and focus on something, lock in on something. Yeah. I don't want to party. I don't want to smoke. I don't want to drink. I don't want to take a vacation. I really just want to lock in on this goal because I got a vision of what I want my life to look like.
Correct.
And I'm really not going to stop until I get that.
Get that.
I feel like he's saying, it's them the people that's running shit. You got to be different and stand out, you know?
For sure.
So I feel like that's the message of that. Yeah. But I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about your nonprofit. You got a couple of them, actually, that you're a part of. So tell us a little bit about that.
The one I created, I ended up creating it. It was a requirement for one of the Youth of the Year competitions. Mm-hmm. And it's called Sykes Hoops. And basically, our mission is to teach life skills through the game of basketball. So like I said, I feel like most of the lessons I learned through life came from basketball, you know, not giving up, you know, and just a lot of moral lessons. And so I grew up in the Boys and Girls Club, the Dr. Martin Luther King Boys and Girls Club, Westside Chicago. And every day, you know, just going in there hooping. Going in there, you know, making friends. It was an after-school program, and I just grew all the way. I stayed in there all the way till I came here, literally. So, you know, when they told me that I have to make a nonprofit and I can do it at the club, you know, my heart rejoiced, because in that club, it's so many kids that went through what I went through. So many kids that I see myself in, and there's so many kids that's going through what I went through. So, just giving them that opportunity, that light to come in somewhere where they don't have to worry about not having a meal. They don't have to worry about clothes being on their back, and they don't have to worry about not having fun. I mean, they have a game room in there. They can play video games. Of course, they got the basketball gym. They have a music studio, swimming pool. They have a lot of stuff in there the kids can come in and do. So, of course, with my organization, what we do is we host a basketball camp. And we go in there, we teach them a couple of drills, but we pause and we sit them down on the bleachers and we talk about life. We teach them, you know, how to stay in school, how to, if you don't want to, if you feel like school not for you, they have trade schools. They have many opportunities you can go and get instead of just being on the street. And I'm happy to say that in the report, when we first started, that we saved 3 guys from going to jail. They was young, of course, in the streets. I mean, we're in the West Side, of course, on the streets. And they came in through Sykes Hoops. And the same day that they was in there hooping was the same day I got somebody else was looking for them and saved their life. So, you know, that's just the type of stuff we do. And then I'm a board member of Oxfam, nonprofit organization based in England. If y'all hear accents, because I am mixed, kind of French British. So, doing some stuff. Their mission is to help end poverty around the world. So I got a couple of stocks over there with them. And like I was telling him, I was in a Zoom meeting earlier, just trying to figure out what can I do here in Illinois and Chicago to help end poverty. So I had a couple of meetings with the mayor, you know, low key politicians, pastors and stuff. So to try to, you know, get the West Side back on its feet.
And I know you say you from the West Side. You was born here too?
Yeah, I was born in Chicago.
So where did the accent come from? Yo, you said you were your grandma?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
family. So it comes in when it wants to. I don't really care about it.
So I'm pretty sure you were speaking that at home and shit, right?
Yeah.
I got a little accent too.
Yeah, it was stronger when I was younger. As I grew, it kind of went away. So, but it comes in when it wants to. So I mean, it's not a big deal to me. But ever since I found out that I have a little blood over here, tiny bit of blood, I still wanted to do something over there, because that's just the type of heart I have.
I was going to say, so do you kind of try to tap in with that side since you know you're part of that?
So I know a couple, I actually know a family member over there, and we tap in with each other from here to there. He's very big in my basketball career. I'm very, very big fan, always supporting and making sure that I'm good. Send me a pair of hooping shoes. So, you know, I mean, I'm going to have to visit over there, see what it's about. But, you know, everything that I'm hearing and everything is a great country. Great, you know, especially where he live at, a great town. So
do you know what part of England?
No, I don't. Nah. I think it's London.
London, okay.
London. Yeah, it's definitely London because they got the little castle and stuff. So
Yeah, that'd be a cool ass trip. Should go learn about my ancestry and shit like that in London.
Yeah. I'm majority black, though.
One thing I wanted to, you know, give you credit upon was the fact that, you know, sometimes like kids like to hear from people that are not so much more older than them. That makes sense. Like people that are like might be like, okay, 8 to 12 years older than them, because it feel like, oh wow, you might really know where I'm coming from, you know, like you might actually understand why I'm struggling, you might actually understand what I need to be doing next. And for you to be that person, it's not easy.
It's not. I actually feel blessed, because the same kids that I teach is the same kids that, you know, we played on the same team, or, you know, I was in the club with. You know, I was a student with them until, you know, I got hired by the club. So, you know, every time I come back to the club, it's always, you know, they always run up to me before I left. I don't know if y'all see my Instagram, but I think one of the first posts is me signing basketballs. Mm-hmm. And that's when I thought I was gonna go to Kentucky Wesleyan and play basketball, but God had a different plan for me to come here. And so the last day, you know, we did a teacher, like a student versus staff game, and I played with the teachers. And after, I signed, autographed all the kids' basketballs, took pictures and stuff. And that was a heartwarming moment, because, you know, these the same kids that some of them I grew up with. Mm-hmm. And so to know that, like, I literally came where they was at, and now I'm the type of person that I am today, it was just amazing.
Yeah, I want to touch on that point. I think that when it comes to, like, kids seeing role model and just the younger generation seeing role models, they want to be able to relate. They want to be able to see, like, the closer the better, because the closer means that it feels more possible for it to happen. Because
they know that how they really live. I feel that's why I don't really agree with schools going all out to get, you know, Lil Durk or somebody. Because these is guys, no hindrance to him, because he's a great guy. But like, these is guys that lived a different lifestyle for a minute.
Right.
And they about their bread. You know, if it's no bread, they not coming.
Hell no.
So, you know, I'm not famous like that yet. So I still know that, you know, I'm still have grinding to do. So that's why anybody that asks me to come and talk, it's always for free.
And I think that's important, because it gives people the notion that you don't have to have a big name to be out here making a difference to be somebody. Yeah. You don't have to be a celebrity to be somebody.
And that's how your name actually get bigger. Like, my name didn't get big until I started doing all that, you know. And once I started being on the news and stuff, that's when I started getting recognized. But, you know, I kind of liked it better when nobody knew me. Because now I feel like everybody, which is stressful at times, but now I feel like everybody got these huge expectations that sometimes, you know, hinder me. Because it's like, I have a family depend on me, you know. I have, at the time, I had a team depend on me. I had, you know, other people depend on me. It was too much.
Kind of like it gets tough where to put your time at. It's only 24 hours in a day.
Yeah, and that's why I study after. I study the life of LeBron a lot, because he basically had to go to that. You know, just having to take on that big of a role at such a young age and lead an NBA team. We're not talking grammar, high school, JUCO. We talking leading an NBA team. I think at 18
years old.
National
Basketball Association.
Man, that nigga, that nigga like Superman. I be wondering the same shit. Like,
no trouble.
How does he? This nigga be everywhere. The nigga be at Bronny game. Back at Danny be at the Lakers game. Full 5 hours early. He makes sure to keep the main thing the main thing, but he also everywhere else at the same time. It's tremendous time management. He rich as hell. He got a jet and shit like that too. That helps. But it's just tremendous time management and keeping the main thing the main
thing. It's mental. That's what I like to teach the kids, is that your basketball is not going to come from all playing with a basketball. Sometimes you have to sit down and train your mind too. It's good to be in the weight room, get your body up, get some abs, you know, jump higher. But you can't do none of that without your mind. Because without your mind, where's your IQ? You still need to learn how to make great plays. You still need to learn how to read a playbook. When you do get signed and stuff, you still need to learn how to count your own money, you know.
I think that's something we need to focus more on, is like shit start, like everything is mental. Everything starts in the mind first.
Everything is mental. That's why books is very important. And like, if people be laughing at LeBron because he come in reading one page of a book, but I really believe he be reading them books, because it's like, there's no way, you know, the type of guy he is, like I said, the big role he's been having since a young kid.
Yeah, them here 20 years.
I mean, come on, he would have checked out by any time now, but I believe by studying and reading and, you know, learning out the great people that also played in the league and great people outside the league, that's what made him a great player and arguably the best player to ever play the game of basketball. Yeah.
Like, that's one thing too. Like, many people don't realize, like, books help you see different perspectives. Like, it helps you see different things from different angles. Yeah. Like, you might think a certain way. Until you open a book, you start to see a whole different way to think about that thing that you're thinking about. Like, it helps you realize, like, okay, maybe the way I'm thinking about something is might not be fully the right thing, but it helps you to see, like, the perspective of, okay, what can I do for myself that can help me think that way that the person that's writing it is thinking about it.
Yeah.
I think that's important, being able to, like, keep an open mind with shit like that. I think we hear old people a lot. They say, can't teach an old dog new tricks. Shit, teach me some new tricks. I want to learn new shit. I don't want to stay the same forever. I don't want to stay one way for my whole life. I want to be able to evolve and grow and be able to be like, okay, this was okay for this 3, 4, 5 years of my life, but now it's time to start doing things different because I'm in a different season of my life. I got different shit going on. I'm just more mature. So I always want to learn shit and be open-minded to how other people think. Because a motherfucker might tell me something that's like I never thought of before, and it might be damn near a game changer in my life. It might be just what I'm looking for right now. And just because he didn't say it there, and I kept an open mind, damn, let me try that, and I might have clicked. That made everything just go around for me in my life.
Yeah, that's a great point you just emphasized on. Just sometimes, like, keeping an open mind helps you realize, like, what else you might not be thinking about. Like, you know, like you said, the person might be like, okay, hold on, think about this from this point of view, cause, and then you saying, like, that might be what you really need.
Because it's like, you don't know what you don't know.
That is true.
You don't know what you, so you can't walk around thinking like, oh, I know it all. I got everything figured out. I can't nobody tell me nothing. There's no information that I do not have. Right. And if you walking around that, you a fool right there. You know, you don't know everything.
And I'm always willing to learn. I don't care, you know, how established I am. I don't care how established I walk around. I'm always willing to learn. Like, when I got here, I wanted to be the low-key kid, the kid nobody knew. But, you know, that's not the type of person that I am. And, you know, once, you know, I went to a couple parties and, you know, I met Charles. And, you know, I asked him, you know, can you teach me how to work the DJ stuff? And I've been walking, you know, asked a couple of people to teach me how to work the camera and everything. Because one thing that I was trying to tell everybody, when I had a breakdown with my mental state in senior year, was I'm more than a basketball player. Way more than a basketball player. I don't want to be known as just the basketball player. And I get it. You know, a lot of people be like, well, you're not even a basketball player. You know, your game don't pursue that. But, you know, that's where most of my accolades is at. And I just don't want to, if I was to die today, God forbid, I don't want to be known at my funeral as the basketball player.
Right.
I want to be known as the person that help people, that teach people. And yes, it's still from basketball, but I want to do so much more and learn so much more. So my mind is always open. So that's why I've been trying to make as many connections on campus. You know, CJ, me and him will start connecting more. Learning
the one on the fashion show, right?
Yeah, yeah. Learning more about fashion and stuff. And, you know, Jayla, like I said, Charles, Stephanie, shout out them. Joanna, all of them just... And I appreciate them for kind of taking me under their wing and teaching me a lot of stuff. And then, you know, like my roommate, Jaquan, shout out him. You know, he played on my high school team, was a big impact. So just, you know, having him in the room every day, teach me little small things is always a blessing. So I'm always ears open when it comes to learning. And I feel like that's how you grow. Just don't be afraid to learn. Don't be afraid to be different and be yourself. And that's how you grow.
As far as
you said nothing but a word or whatever, but I also wanted to, you know, take a little, you know, a little gear, step away from the, you know, the basketball court, everything. I want to talk about like life. You talk about like being homeless, like how did that feel? Like, you know, like in library and all and that.
Yeah, so, you know, when I had like I told you, my great grandma took me in, and there was a situation where I had to go with my mom, and you know, some stuff happened over there where we was looking for a place to stay, and I'm not gonna go too deep out of respect for her, but just experiencing it for a night or two was too much, especially at my age, and I don't think nobody would want to go through that. You know, there was some nights where, you know, you want to come home to a big meal, you just don't got it. There's some nights where, you know, you want to wear some great clothes, you don't got it. You know, I never really had all the Jordans or really had all the designer clothes. That's where my impact or my mindset of wanting to fit in came from. Because, you know, everybody at school was just having everything, and I'm coming in as Skechers. I'm coming in and, you know, stuff from, you know, Five Below and stuff. So it was like, you know, what the hell, Ma? What you doing? But, you know, as I grew, I appreciate her and the whole family for what they've done for me, and they've done a lot. So I experienced a little poverty, but I was never poor. So I know if you have, I tell people all the time. I tell the kids. I had a little kid. He came up to me and he was like, we had a great conversation. He was like, well, I feel like I'm poor. Because my friends, they got Pokemon cards, they got Jordans, they got a PS5 and all that. I don't have nothing. And I was like, well, do you have a house? Do you have a place you can go to that have a roof over your head every night? Yeah. Do you have clothes on your back? Yeah. Do you have shoes on your feet? Yeah. Do you go home to a meal every day? Yeah. Do you have water to wash your back? Yeah. Well, you're not poor. You're not poor.
Living an abundant life.
You're living a great life. No matter how you see it, you're living a great life, because there's people out here that don't got none of that. There's people out here in Africa that's living in a mud house right now that if God decides to rain on their country right now, that house is going to fall. And you crying because you don't have a PS5. You crying because you don't have a T-shirt with a name that's worth $1 million on it. And I tell people all the time, don't think about that stuff. Just think about how you can get better and get to that point where you don't have to worry about. See, that's my mission. I feel like our generation, I think our mistake right now is we think of now too much.
Yeah. We talk about it all the time.
Like we really think about now too much. We think about how people feel now. We think about, you know, where our money is now, and we don't think about the future.
Yeah, I think that when you get to thinking like that, I think you got to start doing shit. Because I talk about it all the time, like falling in love with the process of something. Yeah. I think that if you find a path that you want to follow, a goal that you want to accomplish, and you lock in with that process, that helps you get out of that thinking in the now moment. If you always looking ahead, if you always looking at the goal, if you always looking at, man, in 2 years, this is where I'm going to be at. 3 years, I want to be here. Shit, even 6 months, 3 months, I want to be here. If you always looking there, it keeps you out of that now zone. You don't really, I'm living in the moment. I'm enjoying now, but I know this is temporary. Now it's temporary. Yeah, I'm looking forward to what I got coming.
Yeah, everything is temporary, and that's what I tell people. And that's what makes me different, because I think of my future. I'm more on a I want to build generational wealth. I want to do all that. I want to, that's like I said earlier, I want to be the person that, you know, people look at social media in a couple of years and I'm in my mansion, I'm in my supercar. I don't want to be the one behind the screen like it. You know, I want to be the one getting the likes.
Yeah.
And if that takes me not having everything right now, I'm cool with that. Because mm-hmm. with my work ethic, I feel like anything is possible. I mean, I was nominated to be All-American off of it. You know, I won $80,000 off of it. So it's like, if I can do that, I can do so much more. And so that's why I'm working my ass off every day, studying, practicing, working out, teaching, learning everything I can every single day. So in the future, I can have that life.
And then even to even mention about, like, you talking about a little kid, like, what you think you don't have right now, just give it time. Because, you know, like, we talk about it all the time, comparison is a thief of joy. Like, you don't really realize what you have right now. You take everything that you have right now for granted. For granted that the fact that, oh, the next person next to me got everything else that I want. Yeah. But you don't realize you have way more things that the other person to your right might be wanting too.
I'm finna say, and they didn't put in the work to get all the shit that they have. You can't look at this person and be like, damn, I should have their spot, because you haven't put in the work. They didn't put in the work. They didn't got blessed with this opportunity or whatever the case may be.
OG might have something that your OG might not have.
Yeah, they got a different set of circumstances that they working from.
They still working. And that's what thing. I tell people, like, when I was younger, and I hate the fact that I didn't realize it until, you know, I became way more mature. But I was really walking around telling people I was poor. Mm. And the whole time as I got older, I wasn't poor. Like I said, like I told the kid, I had a house over my head. Mm-hmm. I had clothes on my back. Everything. My mama just rose me different. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought since she was going to get little cheap stuff and suits and stuff that, you know, maybe she didn't have it all. And it's okay she didn't have it all, but that wasn't the mission of her growing me up.
I was gonna say the priorities was in a different place.
Priorities was in a different place, you know. The people that I wanted to be, their parents, you know, they had a little more money. They put clothes in their back and stuff. And these the same kids today that's in the jail system. Mm. Same kids today that's texting me every day $5 on Cash App. So that's why I appreciate my family. And now when I go out and teach, you know, I never tell them, you know, that I was poor or, you know, I was all that, because I wasn't. Mm-hmm. You know, like I said, I might not have the best stuff, but I still had a home to go to. Still had people that loved me. And long as you got somebody that loves you and a place to stay, food in your mouth, clothes in your back, clean water, you all right. It's just up to you to grind and expand all that in the future.
I think it's important to show gratitude and to always show satisfaction and show thankfulness when it comes to where you are today. Because I think if you don't show gratitude, if you're not thankful, you're not appreciative where you are today, mm-hmm. then you're not able to get where you want to be at in 5-10 years.
Correct.
You know, if you're not able to appreciate this, basically, if you're not able to appreciate the $15 steak, you're definitely not finna get the Wagyu. You're not getting that, my boy. Exactly. Go on ahead, get that 15 until you learn to appreciate it and savor it and eat the whole steak and enjoy it. And not talk shit about it. Now you can get the Wagyu, because now you didn't appreciate it. You showed a level of gratitude for it.
I was talking to I was at a little party earlier, talked to this one grown man. He was telling me, like, sometimes, like, you, like you saying right now, like, you need to appreciate what you have right now, just so when you get it later on, you can also appreciate it even more. Because he was telling me, like, the quicker you get something, the faster you lose it.
Yeah.
The longer it takes, the more you're gonna
be
willing.
You hold on to that shit and cherish it, bro.
That's why people have to be smart. It's with money, but more just with their life in general. A lot of people just throwing their life away. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people they're getting these opportunities, they're getting these blessings, and they just throw it right away because they're
not used to it.
They're not used to it, and they want the public to know so bad, so quick. And once the public, and it's like, and I was there at one point, especially in high school,
right,
where, you know, I would get these blessings. Soon I hear about it, Snapchat. Soon I hear about it, Facebook, likes and views. But as I start to get older and I start to get through high school and I start to realize, well, you only get one night of fame.
Yep.
you post it, everybody get under it one night, the next day, don't nobody care.
They forgot about it.
They forgot about it. They don't even know. You know, the only reason people still know the next day is because, of course, I would post it at night and I got to go to school the next morning. Congratulations.
Right.
Even after that, by lunch, nobody care.
Right.
So it's like, that's where I learned my lesson. That's what helped me grow the most, because once I start figuring out that the public really don't care, it's all about you caring about yourself and your family and your loved ones. That's what made me grow.
Yeah, that's something that I learned, is like, really, like, you think, like, damn, you be scared to do shit because you think, oh, damn, they watch me. What if I fail? They gonna be looking at me.
They don't give a
fuck. Nobody looking at your goof ass.
They don't give a fuck.
I was so scared to fail.
Nobody looking at you, bro.
I was so scared to fail until I learned that it's okay to fail sometimes.
I just think about it, like, how you looking at yourself. I say it all the time. You're the main character in your life.
Just like everybody else.
You really don't give a fuck what nobody else got. Especially at the age that we are today, 18 through 24, we got a lot of shit going on. Personal shit. We trying to find ourselves, get a career going, make some money. We really like locked in on ourselves right now.
Right.
So just look at how you treat yourself. You don't really be getting no fuck if nobody fail and shit. Like, you don't really care about what nobody got going on unless they in your immediate circle.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they the people that you talk to on a daily basis, and or your family or your loved ones or your chosen family. You know, you really not checking for a motherfucker. You really not keeping tabs on somebody like that.
Even then, you still have a little boundary. Even then, you still realize, like, okay, hold on. Like, I could care for you as much as you're willing for me to care. Like, I'm not, like, to this day, I love my parents to death. I love my siblings to death. I love my friends to death. But at the same time, though, like, I can't be worrying about you 24/7 if I'm not straight.
You gotta go live, just like I'm out here living, like, man.
If I'm not straight, fuck am I checking on you for?
Yeah, you gotta learn yourself. Like, I was just talking to my great grandma who raised me. I call her mom.
Right.
Because she raised me all my life. She earned that title. And we was talking right before I came here. And she was telling me, well, I'm proud of you because you're out there learning. Because I was telling her about certain situations that, you know, I've been through lately out here and stuff. So she was like, you learning. You'll be all right. And everybody just got to learn. Everybody learned differently at their own pace. Some life lessons don't hit people. Gonna hit people at different times. You know, I'm just blessed that
you learned early.
I learned a lot of stuff early.
I think that response, though, right there from your mom, I'll just call her that. I think that response is important, though, because she's letting you know that it's okay, you're learning things. That's the most important thing that you need to understand from this interaction right here, from this situation, that you're learning things. A lot of parents, they'll try to talk down to somebody or try to focus on the disciplinary aspect of it instead of what the fuck is the lesson I need to be learning from this fuck up here. I think that the response from the parent is a lot of times dictates what the child gets from that interaction. Because a lot of time, a child might keep on doing something over and over again. That's because they just hearing you yelling at them. That's going to pass. They know, okay, she going to yell, cool, fine, dandy. They're not learning the lesson behind it. Why are you yelling? I think that's important to communicate with your kids, is why is this not okay? Yeah. Why should you do this way? Or just what is the lesson?
That's how she was. Me and my brother, Keandre, me and him didn't realize it until we got older. She was hard. She taught us old school because she was old school. Right. So how she rose up, how she grew up, that's how she taught us. And with that comes a lot of yelling.
Right.
Comes with a lot of stuff that goes on in the house when you be bad, get your butt whooped and a lot more other stuff. But that stuff is what made me into the man I am today.
Mm-hmm. You need that.
Yeah, and sometimes, and I feel like a lot of this generation need it. And I feel like, some of our kids, not kids, but, some of the people that, our age, that grew up the same years and stuff that we grew up, a lot of their parents start to diverge off to where they didn't really care anymore. Mm-hmm. Yes, I have a child, but, whatever my child want, I'm going to spoil them. And, you can't spoil everybody.
I was about to say, what is the one thing you learn from your parents? They always tell you, I ain't one of your little friends.
Exactly.
I'm not. Like, I'm supposed to tell you what you don't want to hear. That's my job. My job is to tell you, what you do not want to hear.
Yeah.
Because all your friends, they're buddy-buddy. They're going to tell you, okay, you're doing this right. You're doing this. I'm supposed to come in and tell you, look, what you're doing is wrong.
Yeah, I think that that's something that I appreciate my mom for doing. She stressed, and like she, like you said, she made sure to make my ass know I'm not your friend. I'm gonna be here for your best interest. Mm-hmm. You know, you might not want to hear what I have to say, and I think as kids, as men, we mm-hmm. all experience that where we don't want to hear what the fuck our mom or parent have to say.
Yeah,
but we know
by here.
I didn't realize that until I got here, because, you know, of course, back home, she gonna talk how she talk.
Uh-huh.
And that's she's been so real in the same way since early as I can remember. And when I got here, it was weird for me, because I'd be around certain friends and stuff, and they'd be on the phone with their mom, they cursing, they just, you know, they talking to them a certain, like they friends. And in my head, I'm like, what is going on?
Shit not flying in my home.
Like if I say one word like that to my mama,
she gonna drive down her.
I'm dead. Yeah, so yeah. I mean, like I said, a lot of parents, you know, it comes from a lot of parents making babies young
uh-huh.
when they were still growing up. And respect to them, I have nothing against that. But you know, they made that choice, and I feel like a lot of parents this generation is growing up with their kids instead of just teaching their kids. So as long as, you know, a lot of kids that's growing up get the mentorship and tutoring that they need, I feel like they'll still be okay.
I think you had said it on one pod. You was like, basically, like, our parents are just big kids, basically.
Mm-hmm.
They still learning, and they still growing and experiencing life. Correct. At the same clip.
Correct.
But I think, like he said, at the same time, you do have to understand your responsibility
boundaries.
As a parent.
Yeah,
boundaries.
My responsibility as a...
I'm responsible for you because I brought you into this world.
I got, however, 18, if you had him at 18, I got 20 more years, however many more years of more of experience than you. So I already know things. So I have exactly. to use that to now help you navigate through life. You know, mm-hmm. I'm still growing, you know, I'm still going through life and experiencing my things and shit right. like that. But I can't throw you to the side and say,
figure it
it's
out.
Still me. Because I just brought somebody into the world. So now I got somebody else to worry about along with myself.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
You know, so I feel like, yeah, it's important. Like you say, our parents are just, you know, just bigger versions of us. They still growing, they still learning shit, they mm-hmm. still fucking up. I think that's important to understand. But also, as parents, they have to understand you do have a job to do. So I right. think it's a two-way street.
It
we got to understand as kids, they still fucking up, they still trying to do things with their life, and they still growing and experiencing. And then on their side, they gotta look at us like, man, they the kids, they need us, you know, this is our duty right here.
I feel like once both sides are able to sit down and realize, like, times are changing. Like, yeah. how I might have grown up is not the way that I want to raise you in.
Yeah.
You know, like, but also how you growing up is not how what I come from.
Times is changing fast. Yeah. What, just look at, it's 2024 today. Look at 6 years ago, 2018. Nothing like today. Nothing.
And time it's fast. Flying. It's fast. Like, we were just in eighth grade.
Bro, 6 years is nothing, dude.
Like, I could have sworn I was graduating high school. I mean, eighth grade yesterday. Like,
even high school. That felt like it was...
Like, I miss it. And I feel like, because we all say it when we trying to get out of high school and stuff or anything, like, I can't wait till I'm out of here. Now I wish I was still a freshman.
It makes you appreciate shit more.
And it makes you appreciate life, and it makes you work harder.
And I would say, looking back on high school like that, it made me appreciate college 10 times more. I appreciate being here.
You had to grow up 100%. Way quicker.
Yeah,
I appreciate you being here 100%.
I had to grow up a lot and
way quicker.
I feel like everybody had their little moment, but you know, I had my little moment where I tried to be the class clown in high school and stuff. And yeah, I had this one teacher named Mr. Hemmer, and he always was on my behind. Like, Keontae, if you keep acting like this, you're gonna be at my car in a few years, like, for a dollar. Like, get yourself together. And every single lesson that he teach me or taught me, when I got here, it became true. And I didn't realize, like, when I had to go back to the school and visit, and I visited the school, I really went to his room and thanked him. Because at the time when he was teaching me and I'm getting in trouble and stuff, I didn't realize what he was saying. I'm like, he just saying stuff. Okay, cool. Put me out of class. Okay, cool. Call coach. I can't play the first 5 minutes. Okay, cool. But now that I'm here, these is real life lessons that had to be entered into me, into my mind, that has say, okay, he was right. Now I have to learn the lesson now, sit down and think about it, reflect, and become better. Because if I keep doing the same stuff, it's like you a snail.
Like, I think does.
Ricky says all the time, like, experience is the best teacher, right? But also, at the same time, though, you got to realize, like, what they are telling you, they are telling you because, they either know somebody that has been through it,
right,
or they themselves went through it for themselves, exactly. Right? So they're telling you, like, what is possible for you to do and what's not.
Exactly.
At the same time, though, you got to realize, like, you being a student, you might look at it from, like, damn, you just always on my ass. You just always, like, I can't have a breather. Yeah. Like, can you please get off my case for a second? But then you start getting older, you start realizing, like,
that's what it was.
They're not staying you. They're not staying you off.
That's like, what we be thinking we exempt from the rules and shit, bro.
And that's what I thought. I thought since I was
the athlete, you the man.
Like I'm making money. I'm on the news. Like you think you I'm exempt. Coming into school thinking I'm just him. I can do whatever I want. No, I still gotta do my work. I still gotta come in and pay attention, not act up. You know,
life don't slow down for nobody.
For nobody, and that's what I thought. I got too cocky. And that's one of the lessons that I teach everybody I can now. Do not be cocky, because God, as fast as God can give it to you, He can take it away.
No bad.
So that's what keeps me moving every day, and that's why I love to help people and not be cocky, because I know that, you know, I've been through highs and lows. Even when I got the money, like when I won $80,000, like my first plan wasn't to help people. I'm not gonna sit here and lie to y'all. I wanted to go right to the stove.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that's what I did. I took a couple G's and went right to the stove. I'm not going to lie to y'all, but it took Doug to, you know, we went to breakfast. Most of me and Doug meetings and business conversation comes from breakfast. And, man, he had to tell me, like, slow down. You just went through 80,000 like that. Now you have another opportunity come up where you can compete for the University of Illinois competition. You can get some more money, but this time we're not going to do that.
You're going to manage it.
So we managed it. We put it in stock. So I have money all over the world. Right. I have money in a bank account or in another country. Not going to say which one, but just supporting people, help people. You know, putting my money in stocks, investing and all that, that's where I'm learning. So shout out to him. And that's what I had to learn. It's not to be cocky, because like I said, the fastest God gives to you, He can take it right away.
Yeah, man. I think you just gotta understand that, man. Like, I think he's got the perfect example of like sacrificing shit today so he can live away tomorrow. We stress that all the time. Yeah. It's like sacrifice a thing and let things go. That's something that you got to understand in order to get to in order to level up. Right. You got to let something go.
Correct.
You know, something got to fall off in order for you to go up higher. You know, you gotta at every new level you have to shed off some dead weight. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to let that go. It's something that's holding you back.
Yeah.
I think that's important to understand when it's like you feel like you at the ceiling, you're trying to get through, and it's like, damn, what am I not doing? What's not clicking? You gotta let something go, you know? Whether that be a habit, whether that be a girl, whether that be a friend, whether that be fucking financial, something that you got financially obligating you, so anything, you know, you gotta understand, you gotta let it go. And I think that a lot of time, like you said, it do be girls for us young men. Black young men especially, and do be girls.
I just feel like we'd be so caught up. Like, it's just like,
I mean, girls is girls.
Like,
I mean,
they're beautiful.
They're beautiful. I mean, God like, made them for a reason.
They're beautiful as hell. Yeah. Like, you can't go wrong. But at the same time, though, like, it's like sometimes like we just be so caught up thinking like, if I don't have it right now, I'm never gonna have a chance to get it. If that makes sense.
And know? I think we just gotta get out of that way of thinking as men.
Yeah.
You know, I think we got to understand, like,
that was my mistake, especially with females. Yeah. I had to learn that it's not about what you got, it's about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And we're all young. So, I mean, of course, you got a couple girls now that's way over their head. They want a guy with a lot of money and stuff. But you got some girls that's like, don't care about that because they know that we on the same level. Mm-hmm. They know that we're still growing. And they know that, you know, they willing to work with you. And, you know, I was blessed with one that is willing to work with me. And it helped me, you know, because, like I said, I had made a couple dumb decisions that, you know, made money go away. So I'm trying to get, you know, back on that pedestal where I was at, but and she's willing to work with me. So I was blessed with that.
Keep her.
Yeah.
No, like that's one of the things that like us man, like we don't like to give the other person the credit. Like as in like sometimes, you know, you might be with a young lady and then you don't realize what you have until she's gone.
Yeah.
Right? So like now, like everybody around you might be wanting a chance to, you know, come take your spot.
Yeah.
And don't think nobody else want to take your spot.
And that's what
there's a lot of people that want to take your spot.
And that's what it took. It took her to scare me for a little bit and be like, hey, I'm done with you.
Yeah.
Like, stop calling. Like she even blocked me. Uh-huh. And of course
somebody won your spot.
And it'd be funny because when it comes to relationships with girls, you learn that lesson that, you know, like you just said, you don't know what you got till they gone right away. Like soon they block you, that's when it hits you. Cause now I don't got her no more.
Yeah.
Like
she irreplaceable. Gone.
So now I had never heard of text free. Text now, none of that. So I'm literally in my dorm room like going nuts. Out. I'm like, Jaquan, how do you do it? He like download text free. I'm like, all right, bet. So I'm on every app I can get on, texting, calling, and she finally called me. She wasn't answering, but she called me back. When I was in the shower, when I dropped that soap right away. Picked up that phone and we had a conversation. And, you know, we got through it and we back on the right hand page now. She out enjoying herself at the party, I think. But I don't know what she's doing, but, you know, shout out to her.
Uh-huh.
You know, we cool. So sometimes that's what it takes. But girls is beautiful. I tell young guys that all the time, girls is beautiful, but don't make them that choice that fuck up your life.
Mm-hmm.
Because that can be the choice that messed up your life. Sometimes you really want the most beautifulest girl in the room, the one that everybody likes, but the real star, the diamond in the rough, is the quiet one that's sitting in the corner.
That might be her.
It might be her. You never know. So that's what I had to learn. You know, I've always chased after the models and, you know, the big time women, the one everybody wanted. And the whole time, my diamond in the rough was a quiet one sitting in the corner.
Factual, because 9 times out of 10, the only thing that's separating them two is just the she got the name and she don't.
Yeah, she got the paparazzi.
You don't know what this girl coming with. You know, you just know from the outside looking in. She
everybody
beautiful,
know her.
Everybody want her.
And I've had my taste of both, which is why it's so easy for me to talk about. Like I said, when, you know, blessings started coming to me in high school, you know, and I was on all the apps. I was on Facebook, Wiz, all that. And, you know, some beautiful girls came my way. And, you know, these people I FaceTime. These people, you know, some people I met up with. And, you know, I can surely say, sitting down right now, that the best conversations and moments came from the girls that's not them. It came from the girl with a head on their shoulders. It came from the girls that want to grow, want to learn. It came from the girls
out of earhead
that take care of themselves. You know, it didn't come from the girls that all they care about is views. It didn't come from the girls that all they care about is, okay, where's the next date? You know, and that's another thing I had to learn. Watch out for these gold diggers, because, man, I learned it hard. I mean, every day. Like, every day asking me for something.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, I got tired. You know, I don't want to go on a date every day.
Hell no.
And they would do that if you know you got it. So that's another thing, you know. At my church, back in the city, we have this thing called Men's Day, where it's like a men's program called Iron Sharpens Iron. And we go out to this big church in the suburbs somewhere, and men from all over come. Any church you could probably name. And one of the classes talked about this. And that's where I learned, because girls can be, I forgot the term they use, but basically girls can be that a distraction from getting you where you need to be. Girls was a distraction from getting me from where I need to be. Because at a moment in time when God started blessing me, these girls would come up to me, I'm thinking I'm the man. But the whole time I realized I just put my life on pause to satisfy a couple girls.
Factuals.
And once I learned that and got back on my stuff, they went away. And it was only one that stayed. And that's the one that I thought I was going to have nothing to do with. And we don't talk to each other like that no more, but we're still cool to this day. Of course, with permission from Maz, but I had to make him not say
that. But that shit clear.
But we're cool to this day. So you know, shout out to her. She's been cool. She goes to Illinois State. Okay. We check in with each other here and there. But shout out to her. You know, we still great friends to the day. But you know, don't let these girls be a distraction and keep your money. Like, it's okay to spend your money here and there, but you don't got to go above and beyond, especially if you just met her.
Yeah.
And I think,
as men, that's important for us to understand. It's, like I said, keep the main thing the main thing. With the girls, is like, the more that you on your purpose and the more that you chasing after what you need to chase after and more that you accomplishing your goals and improving you, right, you're going to get that girl that you really want.
They come with the territory.
It all comes with, that's part of the improvement game. That's part of leveling up. That's what the cars come with it, the money, the houses, the women, the fucking traveling. All of that it's a part of it. So if you focus on you and you keep you the main thing and not the woman, you're going to be able to have your pick of the litter, you know?
Correct. And then also, like, I want to say this to like all the men listening too, like, bro, get better at picking them.
Yeah. But,
Just cause a girl look your way don't mean she might be the one. Like, get real good at picking them.
Cause some choices I be seeing y'all with just be mind-boggling. Like, a lot of men,
boggling.
It's sad that a lot of men really choose body over what's inside. And
It goes back to the now moment though, because like a lot of people are thinking, like,
I was gonna say, it's not mind boggling though. When I think about it from a man's perspective, it's not mind boggling why he would go after that. But it is like, it's just showing like what the priority is. Right. You
it
know,
go it, both ways. Yeah. Some men just priorities is different. Some, like I said, some men, you know, that's what they want to do right now.
Yeah, that's why.
They don't care.
It goes with them in that moment.
But then again, that's going to affect you in the future. I had a conversation with my little brother, because he's a little ladies man. Uh-huh. And, you know, he's starting to get out there and he's starting to do stuff. Uh-huh. And I had to tell him to slow down, because he would be so happy to call me. Big bro, you won't guess who I just today. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, bro, ain't this your like fourth one this week?
Slow down, big bro.
These is a lot of, you know, connections with people that you're making that you don't know yet that you're making. That's why it'd be so hard to leave people.
Mm-hmm. I be telling my homies all the time, they don't realize, bro. Soul ties is real.
Stop.
You might think you're just gonna have it in your bed. You just gonna have it in your bed one time, but all you know, 5 years, like 3 years, 3 days,
it's
2 weeks,
come back and hit you.
You look for a girl that's just like her. You're just looking for a girl that reminds you of just like her.
Facts.
And you don't realize, but you're picking the same girl over and over, over and over. Yeah.
Because that's what's closest to her, and that's why it's so. That's why, and people don't believe it, but I read a lot and I study a lot, and the studies literally say that's the reason why some marriages are above average marriages don't work now, because so many people got soul ties with so many people that when they get in the marriage, they expect them to be that person. So they expect them to have sex just like them, expect them to talk to them just like them. It's, everybody is different. Mm-hmm. So when something don't work out like that, it's like, okay, yeah, I don't want you no more. Divorce. And that's why some people's life goes straight down the drain, because I'm not going to lie, I think women is smarter than men now. Women
I've always
is
like that.
Smarter than men now.
Even when we were in elementary school, they always been smarter than we were.
It's just, women is smarter. So they know that, hey, you want to get a divorce from me? Okay, you have to pay this. And that's why some men is down the drain now, because women know that. See, women don't get in a relationship with that mindset. I feel like some women get in a relationship, or when they get married, they want to calm down. They know, okay, I'm in a relationship now. Where some men, they coming in this relationship, like I said, with so many soul ties that they don't give up that past life. And it'd be hard. Mm-hmm. You know, they not used to coming home to one woman every day. They not used to building that bond.
That's why I be kind of torn between, like, man, you got to find one young, like, stay with her young, or live, experience it, you know, be with different people, and then when you get older, then
find, okay,
find this one. Yeah, I be kind of torn because it's like you want, like
you want somebody to grow with, but it's also like,
for that same fact though, when you get older, she got so many fucking demons that's in the closet. Yeah. You, I don't want no parts of that. Yeah. She got so many, so many fucking flashbacks that she's having, you know,
yeah,
in her head. I don't want no parts of that. Versus when I'm young, I want to build with somebody, mm-hmm, but it becomes hard to be in a committed relationship, yeah, when you're going through changes personally.
Yeah.
And that's why I try to look at everything. You're not established yet. I try to look at everything. And I, you know, some girls, you know, well, not some girls, but like one girl that, you know, I had talked to, she was a hoe. But I just gotta put that out there. She was a hoe. Like she did me down and dirty. But I knew that that's not who she is. Mm. I knew that the reason she started all that was because she went through something.
Yeah, see, he's a mature nigga.
Because so
he's mature.
Think about it from a whole different angle. Yeah, he's mature. A lot of people won't think about it.
It took me a minute to realize. At first, I'm like, you know, oh fuck her. She just doing me dirty. I'm not doing shit. Like, but when I sat down and realized this girl had been through way more stuff than I would ever go through in my life, and that's just where her escape. You know, she didn't have it at home, so she went and got it. She went and started tricking niggas. I just end up being a victim. So it's like, you know, me and her, we don't talk no more. But right before, you know, I left her, I told her that I wish them nothing but the best for you.
Right.
And if you need something, call my agent. Because I see something in you that you don't see in yourself. Like, don't call me, but call my agent. Like, yeah, help you out. No. So, like,
say, do not call me. Call him though.
Like, because it still hurt what she did, but you know, I'm still willing to help because I know that's not who she is, and she learned about herself. Me and Doug, we was having a conversation like 2 weeks ago about her. She didn't win, and she got accepted into JSU, Jackson State. Mm-hmm. So now she's finna go to college. And a year ago, she didn't get not one crap about college. So she's I see that she's trying, and I'm proud of her for trying. Mm-hmm. So, you know, me and my agent talk, and we sent her a little care package down there to, you know, welcome her started, home, yeah, some toilet paper and soap and stuff, just to get her started. And that's just the type of person I am. And I'm proud of her. But some people go through stuff, and that's just their escape. So I tell a lot of guys that don't just throw not every girl away. I feel like sometimes you gotta really sit down and study them, especially if you're serious about them. Because if you don't sit down and study them, you don't know who they are. They can be anything. They can be anything in disguise. So I like to sit down. I like to study. I like to look at you,
analyze,
and align and admire you, and really figure out who you are. I figured out who she were, and I knew she wasn't like that for real. Now she's settling down. She got her a man. He actually just proposed, so I'm proud of her, and I feel like that's what a lot more people need to do. Instead of throwing people away, help them escape that trauma, and that's how I look at it. Cause you're not born a hoe,
right?
You get it from somewhere, or
just learn behavior.
Yeah. So the only thing you could possibly do is just help them escape it. And that's what I like to do. I like to help people escape stuff. So like I tell people all the time, I mean, yeah, I'm a busy man, but if you need a therapist, text me.
That's all I know.
If you need a person to talk to, text me. Because I'ma always be there. Like a young lady at the school, she had a situation happened to her, and she's doing way better now. But you know, I posted on my story. She remembered, and she texted me, and we met up. We talked. She cried, and I said it's okay to cry because that's how your pain is leaving you. And now she's doing well. So that's why I tell people, instead of just
looking, you're doing God's work.
That's my mission. That's just how it rose. That's just how it rose. I'm different, you know, and I've accepted that I'm different. Like if you look at my Facebook page and my bio, say Lilu, and in French that means the chosen one. I really feel like I'm the chosen one, and so just out here, I'm just different. I don't do everything other people do. People look at me as weird. Some people look sometimes look at me and laugh at me because, you know, what I'm wearing and stuff. But that's just me. That's just who I am. Some people laugh at the way I speak. That's just me. That's just who I am. And one day they're going to realize that, oh, yeah, the same dude I laughed at, now look at him.
That's the chosen one.
That's what keeps me going every day, just knowing I'm the chosen one. You know, staying mentally sharp, staying physically sharp, and getting out there. You know, my main mission right now is trying to get back on the court and walk on next year. Mm-hmm. So that's been my main mission, just trying to stay healthy, staying in the gym, changing my diet. And every day I wake up, I look in my little mirror they gave us in the dorm room. Mm-hmm. And I tell myself,
I know that little mirror you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, you know, like the little corner by the door.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell myself every day, I'm the chosen one, and I'll go get my day started.
Like, one thing I want to, you know, commend you on is the fact that, like, you said something really important. Like, she wasn't a hoe. She just went through something that was traumatic. You know, sometimes, like, people forget, like, somebody might be somebody completely different before the situation that happened to them. Right. Like, we wasn't podcasters until we met. You know what I'm saying? Like you had a whole life before this. Just like I had a whole life before this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, like, you forget other people might have situations happen where they are who they are right now.
Yeah, I say that shit all the time. Everybody got a story. Everybody got a sad story to tell, bro. You're not the only one that has been through some type of trauma or some type of backlash.
Everything stems from something. Mm-hmm. That's why I look at that
way. Yeah, I think he did a good job of just pointing out that, like, even though he's been through some things, he's been through his trials and tribulations, mm-hmm. he's been through his ups and his downs, he's still able to see in somebody else, she's been through some things, so I'm not going to take it out on her, or I'm not going to penalize her just because she's been through some things in life. I just got to understand that's just a part of life. Sometimes you're going to get done wrong in the process of dealing with people, and that's just something that we got to understand is, a lot of times it's not you. You're not necessarily doing the something problem. Wrong.
Yeah.
It's just that shit, you... That's just what happens in life, you know?
Yeah. And like I said, everybody have their own personal escape. Her escape was sex. Uh-huh. Her escape was talking to many people. Uh-huh. She needed people to talk to. Uh-huh. Some people escape is drugs. Uh-huh. My escape was music. Mm. I wrote music for a couple years. Didn't do too well. I got blessed with one song, and it was called The Light. I don't know if y'all heard it, but it's by Juice WRLD. When it was unreleased, he gave fans an opportunity to do an open verse on it. And I did one, posted it, and didn't really care about it because my music never really blew. Mm-hmm. Until one day I looked, and it had 3 million listens. Mm. That's how I bought my first iPhone, from that check. And I had that iPhone literally sent till last month where I got a new one. But my escape was music, just putting my heart in music, venting to the mic. Cause I felt like I couldn't mix emotions with basketball because
you'd be all over the place.
I'd be all over the place. Yeah. I'd be Draymond Green, and I experienced that because when I started putting my emotions in basketball, and I did some of it senior year when my mental just started to get really low, and even my coach can tell. Coach Rogers would tell me all the time, like, if you need a game or you just need to sit out, let me know. Because this is not the psychs I know. You're out here airborne people. You're out here tripping people. Literally Draymond Green. Mm. And you're getting thrown out of games. You're getting texts. And on the paper, it might not seem like we need you. But we need you. Mm. So you can't be doing that. And I had to find another escape. And that escape came in music. So I had put out a couple songs, Just Smile, like I said, The Light. They got taken down, unfortunately, because he ended up passing. Rest in peace, his soul. But I don't do music anymore. I'm going to try to get back into it soon, but that was my escape. So everybody has their escape. Mm-hmm. I just feel like a lot of people just need to realize that people go through stuff, and not everybody was who they is right now, and not everybody's going to be who they is right now. So give people a chance. That's another mission that I go by, especially with the kids and my work, my nonprofit work, is give people a chance, because you never know who's your diamond in the rough.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. I think that's been the message of the podcast, man. Just find a way to stand out, find a way to be different, man, and lock in on yourself, man. I think we gave you gems throughout the whole thing, man. I think you go back and listen and be able to catch something. But before we get out of here, I want you to get the people somewhere where they can connect with you, whether it be any socials or websites, anything like that, man.
Y'all can connect with me on Instagram at TheRealSykes, TheRealSykes. Facebook is my name, Keyontae Sykes, KeyOntae, Sykes, Sykes. Snapchat is TheRealSykes12. Same as Instagram, just add 12. And, thank y'all for, you know, having me here, inviting me out, and please subscribe to their channel, get them to 200, I believe.
Yes, 200. Sir.
Like the video, and yeah, Sykes out.
Please subscribe, like, press the button. It's free, man. It is free.
And thank you all for bearing with me.
Yes.
You know, it's been a long podcast, but thank you for bearing with me. Before we head out, please, podcast listeners, please never, never stop learning.
Never stop learning, man. Free Sauce Podcast. We out.
Man, we out.
Black like CIA. I broke like yesterday. I stuck ball like NBA. Every day like.